Blog Talk Radio.
I've been coming to Darlington Raceway for as long as I can remember.
Dale Earnhardt is about to win the sixth of the last.
There's so much history here.
Elliott now midway between turns three and four, looking for $1 million.
Darlington has some of the toughest races.
Burton looks down to the inside. He'll not be able to.
I've watched my heroes leave here in both victory and defeat.
And Cale Yarborough as your leader.
Here goes Gant, right down to the inside.
That's the kind of racing in the old days you used to see at Darlington. Physical for the last five laps.
There's no other place like Darlington.
From the bottom, they are three wide on the back straightaway.
I'm Dale Earnhardt Jr., driver of the number 88. Nationwide Chevy SS. We are celebrating Darlington's throwback race weekend with a special Grey Ghost paint scheme honoring NASCAR icon Buddy Baker. Come join me and the entire NASCAR family as we pay tribute to the history and heritage of our sport at Darlington Raceway. The tradition continues Sunday, September 4th at the Bojangles Southern 500. Reserve your seats now by calling 866-459-RACE or visit darlingtonraceway.com.
Hi, I'm Cameron Haley, driver number 13, with Tay Tundra for Thor Sport Racing and the Camping World Truck Series. You're listening to the Pit Stop Radio with Tim Despain.
Live from Talladega, you're in the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Good evening from Talladega, Alabama. I'm Tim Despain alongside my good friend, the CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, up there in the Commonwealth of Virginia, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Stephen, how you doing, bud?
I'll tell you what, it's been hot today. I'm talking 100 degrees hot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, y'all getting a lot more heat. Well, you know, which we've here, you know, I told you I cut grass yesterday, and Reverend Joe's going to probably get on to me for cutting grass on Sunday afternoon, but I had to cut it because it was getting up there. But we finally got some heat and humidity here today, bud. I mean, dadgum, this sticky heat. I'm ready to go to Darlington Raceway and maybe go to Talladega in October and maybe see some cool weather, bud. What you think?
I don't know. I'm ready to go to Darlington. I want this heat to stay right where it is when we go to Darlington because it's going to get hot, slick, nasty, and slam them cars up into them walls. And that's exactly the way we want it when we get to Darlington here in just a few days.
You got a good point, Stephen, because you and I and Suzanne and Marie, we're going to be in the AC either in the media center or the press box. Just to let everybody know, our guest tonight, we have a driver in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Mr. Jake Griffin is going to take the time out to call in. Their race is tomorrow night. You know, Stephen, we got everything going a little bit short. There's a one race deal there. But before we get everything started, let's bring our good friend and Reverend of the Speedway Digest Radio Network and the Pit Stop with Tim Despain, Mr. Reverend Joe, into the Pit Stop. Well, where's my bud? Let's just go ahead and bring Reverend. Reverend, where are you at? Where's my bud? Reverend, how you doing that, bud? I can't find my bud.
I'm doing okay. A little bit of a sore throat. I don't think there's anything wrong with cutting the grass on Sunday. But what I don't understand is, if God wanted grass to be an inch tall, he would have made it that way. So I'm not going to cut it.
Exactly. I'm sorry, Reverend Joe, but we had a little storm come through here Saturday evening, and down here at the station, Alabama Power operated two or three times, and I had to wait till it dried up Sunday. I had to cut it because I had to go to work Monday, but Lord forgive me, I had to cut grass Sunday.
You're allowed to do that.
Thank you very much, friend.
Let's get this party started.
Yes, sir. Crank it up, bud.
All right. Lord, we come before you, and we thank you for all you do for us. We ask your blessings upon everyone involved in auto racing. We ask your blessings upon all our soldiers and all of those who wear uniforms to protect us and keep us safe. We thank you for allowing us to live in a country where we can enjoy our racing along with so many other freedoms. And we know that freedom doesn't come free. And we know the freedom to get to heaven only comes through belief in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that wonderful sacrifice you gave for us. So be with us all this week. Bless us in every way and keep us aimed in the right direction, which is to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Great invocation. We appreciate you, bud. How's everything doing? You feeling it? You feeling better, bud?
We're getting there little by little, and I'm getting used to this crazy pacemaker and defibrillator they put into my chest. But yeah, I got a darn box. It's like having a pack of cigarettes sewn into your chest. But we're getting there, and we appreciate you guys, and we will talk at you next week. God bless you guys, and be safe. Watch
all right,
out
thank
for
you,
lawnmowers, they're dangerous.
Exactly. And Reverend, before we let you go, I want to let you throw out there again where everybody can follow you at on social media and your website, too. We always do that now.
We appreciate that. Website is ontrackwithjesus.org. My email is ontrackwithjesus@AOL.com. And you can always catch me on the telephone, 951-232-7630. Look us up on Facebook also under Rev Joe Bubico, and you can catch me on the Pit Stop Radio website, Facebook site. So there's many ways to get a hold of me. Got a question? Give me a holler.
Reverend Joe, thank you very much. Tell Miss Betty we said hello, bud.
We'll do it. She sends
all
you
right,
love back, and we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week, Reverend Joe. That was our good friend, Reverend Joe. He used to be in Southern California. Then he got married to Betty, and they moved up Seattle way. But everything's going okay. Stephen, I think we have some breaking news. Probably one of the biggest Darlington throwbacks that we've had come out this year. I don't want to undermine any of the others, because all these Darlington throwback paint schemes, they're freaking awesome. But I think you might have some breaking news out of the Joe Gibbs camp about the throwback scheme, paint scheme that's going to be on the number 20 of Matt Kenseth at the Bojangles 500. So I'll let you have it for just a second if I can find my button. Come on, button. Act right. Here we go.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Darrell Waltrip sure is amassing a whole bunch of cars out there that's going to be run on Darlington Southern 500 race weekend out there. Not only in the Sprint Cup Series, but in the Xfinity Series too. But coming out today with Matt Kenseth Racing, Tide is going to return back to NASCAR. It's been a fair few years since we've seen a Tide as a sponsor in the series. If we all remember going back a few years ago when Tide did kind of use a little bit of a marketing strategy there during the whole Juan Pablo Montoya incident with, you know, them cleaning the track up and the jet fuel out there, they were able to capitalize on that. But Tide is actually going to return as a sponsor, running a Darrell Waltrip and Ricky Rudd scheme in the Darlington 500 here in just a couple of weeks. You know, between Darrell Waltrip, Ricky Rudd, and Ricky Craven, the paint scheme amassed 20 wins between 1987 and 2006. It is also credited with the closest finish in the sport's history that came right there at Darlington Raceway between Ricky Craven and Kurt Busch battling it out, and a 2/1000th of a second finish in 2003. So we've got a pretty awesome paint scheme coming back and a pretty cool sponsor that has been in the sport for many, many years prior to, and then kind of stepped away for a while. They're also going to be as on the number 18, number 19, and number 20 entries later on this season at Chicagoland and at Richmond in just a few, the next 2 weeks following the Darlington Raceway event.
And, Stephen, let's listen to a little bit about the announcement there at the NASCAR Hall of Fame in Charlotte, North Carolina. The first few seconds is not really good audio, but my good friend Steve Post was MC there. So let's listen to a little bit about what Matt Kenseth, Joe Gibbs, and everybody had to say about the announcement there with Tide coming aboard for an awesome paint scheme for this Darlington Raceway.
We would like to welcome you here. Thank you for joining us, as we are excited about the announcement here. For those of you who don't know, I'm Steve Post. I'm with the Motor Racing Network, and I'm very happy to be here with you today at the NASCAR Hall of Fame for this special announcement. You know, as you look around this great hall, it's amazing the significant amount of history and heritage that is on display here, and we're here today for a special announcement from Joe Gibbs Racing surrounding the last of their throwback schemes as we're all getting ready and excited for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race coming up at Darlington Raceway. So without further ado, I'd like to direct your attention to the video board for this special video.
The Daytona 500 belongs to Franklin, Tennessee, Gerald Waltrip.
So on behalf of Joe Gibbs Racing, the number 20 Toyota Camry team, driver Matt Kenseth, and the most iconic laundry care brand of all time, we would like to officially announce the return of Tide to the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series for the Bojangles Southern 500 at Darlington Raceway on Sunday, September 4th. Before we unveil the special throwback paint scheme, I would like to introduce you to three individuals joining us here today who would like to share some words with you about their thoughts on this special announcement. We are excited to have somebody that we all personally know as Coach,
please give a round of applause for Joe Gibbs, owner of the NASCAR Championship Team, Joe Gibbs Racing. We'd also like to welcome the driver of the number 20 Toyota Camry and the person who will be behind the wheel as the Tide Pods car tackles the track at Darlington, Matt Kenson. In addition, please give a round of applause also to Amy Craybill, brand manager for Tide. Since 1987, an entire generation fell in love with the iconic orange and yellow Tide ride, and it became lifelong fans of the legendary drivers who wheeled the machine. As we honor that legacy and look ahead to the introduction of the Tide Pods Toyota Camry that'll debut at Darlington, it wouldn't be the same without three legends who were all part of Tide's 20-year involvement in the sport of NASCAR racing. So first, please join me in welcoming Darrell Waltrip, who drove the Tide car to several victories, including the 1989 Daytona 500. Darrell, before we, can you give us a little of that Tide slide? Oh, he's still got it. He's still got it. Now we'd like you to give it up for Ricky Rudd, winner of the 1987 Brickyard 400 and driver of the Tide car for 9 years.
No dancing.
Yeah. And last but certainly not least, let's give a round of applause for Ricky Craven, who entered the record books in 2003 with the closest finish in NASCAR history at Darlington by 0.002 seconds. Gentlemen, it is an honor to have you with us here today as part of this announcement, so thank you for your time to be here with us. And we would like to give you, the drivers of the Tide Ride, the honor of officially unveiling the Darlington Raceway throwback paint scheme. We will, and after the completion of the program, have photo opportunities, so we will have a chance to do that. At this time, we would like our guests to make their way to the stage, and we can chat about this announcement. And again, photo opportunities will take place after this announcement, so we'd like to have you join us on the stage.
Main thing is, does this work okay?
Making sure. Good. We got to make sure Darrell has a voice, you know. At first, we would like to welcome Amy to the stage. And Amy, I know you have some things you'd like to share.
Absolutely. Hello, everyone. My name's Amy. I'm brand manager for Tide. And on behalf of the entire team at Procter & Gamble, I'd just like to say how thrilled we are to be here today and how much we're looking forward to September 4th when the Tide Pods car takes the track at the Bojangles Southern 500. Today we recognize the old and the new. Today we recognize a powerful new legend in the Tide Pods car. Tide is celebrating its 70th anniversary this year, and there couldn't be a more fitting time to bring the Tide Pods car to the second annual Darlington Throwback Weekend. The iconic orange and yellow paint scheme that fans have revered for decades has been reborn into a new, more powerful Tide Pods Camry. It pays homage to the rich history of Tide while also showcasing the strength and the evolution of the brand. Currently, Tide products are in over 43% of American homes. People trust Tide to tackle the tough stains and odors that happen in real life, and let's face it, real life can get pretty messy. But Tide is more than a detergent. With every product, we make a promise to families that they can count on us and that we'll always have their back. Strong family culture is very important to us at Tide, and that's what makes this partnership with Joe Gibbs Racing so special. As you'll hear from Coach Gibbs, and as I've seen firsthand, he treats everyone on his team like family. He supports them unconditionally, and his devotion to his colleagues is truly inspiring. Darrell Waltrip, Ricky Rudd, Ricky Craven. Sitting behind me are three legendary drivers who represent Tide's over 20-year history in racing. As we look to the race in just a few short weeks, Matt Kenseth will carry on the legend as the newest driver in the Tide racing program. He embodies a new era of power for Tide Pods. As a 2016 Product of the Year, Tide Pods are Procter & Gamble's first three-chamber laundry detergent. Its innovative design keeps ingredients separate until the moment they combine in the wash for an incredible clean. And it's twice as compacted as liquid detergents, which makes every pack small but very powerful. I have no doubt that Matt will hit the track with the same power and performance that we've engineered into Tide Pods. And on behalf of the entire Tide team, we can't wait to see the Tide Pods car in Darlington for what's sure to be another memorable race weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Now I'd like to introduce Coach Gibbs and to discuss why this partnership means so much to him and to the entire racing team. Coach?
Speak for yourself.
With Rooster, okay? I got the most nervous I got when he was after Bobby Labonte or somebody driving for us. But Ricky was a big part of that. And, of course, Ricky Craven, what a great finish. And then such a representative in our sport. So it has a tremendous history. And so, Matt, you got a lot to live up to here. But I think we got the perfect guy driving it. I'm so excited to be a part of this. And this really is our history. When I think about our sport and the fact that our family's been able to be in the sport now for 25 years, I get excited about the people that built our sport. It's all those people that went before us, and we're able to capitalize on that. So I'm thrilled to be a part of it. This can be an exciting time for us, and I know that this car is going to be a special deal at Darlington. So thank you all.
Thank you, Coach. And now I'd like to introduce you to the person that gets the opportunity to wheel the number 20 Toyota Camry, the Tide Pods car at Darlington, Matt Kenseth.
Thanks. Yeah, this is a cool day for me. I've seen the Tide car a lot, you know, on the racetrack as just a little kid still in diapers watching Darrell drive it. several things I'm excited about here. The old and the new makes me feel a lot younger again. I don't have to answer any retirement questions because it's the old and the new making me feel young. But seriously, I watch this car race a lot. I remember being up in snowy Wisconsin and watching Duro win the 500, and I couldn't believe he wrecked a perfectly good helmet. I still had to buy all my own racing equipment back then. I remember him spiking that thing in the ground. So a lot of cool memories with that car. Of course, both the Rickies winning some big races with it, closest finish in NASCAR history. So just, you know, the heritage and history of the car, the paint job, the brand, I'm just really, really proud to be part of that. So looking forward to getting on the track at Darlington, and, you know, hopefully I can uphold my end of the bargain and make everybody proud.
I am certain you will, that's for sure. Thank you, Matt. At this time...
Steve, let's stop right there. I mean, you know, we could talk about that paint scheme all day, but I mean, you know, Wallace and Truex also came out with their paint schemes today, too. Would you like to talk about that a little bit before we have our guests come up at the bottom of the hour?
Yeah, over in that NASCAR Xfinity Series, Bubba Wallace, which the Xfinity Series is also getting in on this, he's going to run Mark Martin Folger's scheme from 1990-1991. For over there. Also, last week, Blint Cook, we're still talking about, and this came out, I think, last week. We didn't get a chance to talk about this, but even Blint Cook, we were talking about Darrell Waltrip and how many cars he's got in. He's running a Mountain Dew type Folger, I mean, a Mountain Dew car from the old Junior Johnson era. So, like I said, Darrell Waltrip's got a lot of cars as he's going to be running around Darlington Raceway coming in a few weeks. But in addition to that, Martin Truex Jr. today also announced that they're going to have auto owner's insurance on there for their 100th anniversary throwback scheme over at Furniture Row Racing. So got a lot of paint schemes out there. I haven't heard of anybody else as of yet. Hopefully there are a few still cars left there to go, but I haven't heard of anybody else, and time's kind of getting a little short for them to start announcing.
Yeah, and Stephen, I don't want to put you on the spot, but when I was coming home from work, I caught a little tail end of something on SiriusXM NASCAR Channel 90 about Ty Dillon. Have you heard anything about what Ty Dillon's going to run? I think Ty's going to run the Sprint Cup Series race there at Darlington for the throwback scheme. I didn't get to hear everything, and I don't know if I heard it right, so correct me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm lying, if I just dreamed it or whatever, but I think I heard something.
I have not heard anything about that as of yet, and I wasn't listening to Sirius today, so not 100% sure.
Okay. And, Stephen, at this time, you know, we got 2 hours to talk, but I want to bring on my good friend from the NASCAR Camper Royal Truck Series. He's going to be driving from MB Motorsports again this weekend at, well, not this weekend, tomorrow night. Mr. Jake Griffin is going to be driving at Bristol Motor Speedway. So let's bring Jake into the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Jake, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
Jake, thank you. You're welcome. Come on anytime. I mean, you know, we've had you on a bunch, and I want to thank Jana for getting you on, and we just wanted to get somebody from the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series side of it, and I was talking to Jana last night, and she was checking flight times, when you was going to get in and whatever, as far as your appearances and everything, but you're going to be racing at Bristol, bud. Can you talk a little bit about how everything went down?
Oh, yeah, I mean, we've had Bristol scheduled for a while. It's definitely something that I've wanted. It's definitely a racetrack that I wanted to go to, and I think we'll have a pretty good piece there tomorrow night in the 63. This week has been pretty hectic for us. Went to go get our flight last night, and we missed our flight by like 2 minutes, and we had to drive back home to Quincy and then wake up again at like 3 o'clock in the morning to fly back out. So it's been pretty hectic so far for us.
And Jake, can you talk a little bit about I know you've never raced at Bristol Motor Speedway in a NASCAR Camper World Truck Series. From what the media, Stephen, can tell you also, they have made some changes to the track. I don't know if you know that. They've done a little bit to the bottom groove. They've done a little bit about what one of them other racetracks did. Stephen helped me out. They brought some tires in, trying to bring in some rubber to the bottom. But Stephen can probably talk to you more about it, because I've been working today, which I'm not saying Stephen wasn't working, but I was working more than what Stephen had. You know, Stephen had time to cover it. Just to say that, Jake. But have you heard anything about what Bristol had done to the bottom to try to bring the side by side racing back? I don't know if you have. Just want to throw that out there.
I haven't exactly heard what it was, but I did hear they were supposed to bring some kind of grip back to the bottom of the racetrack to kind of help the, like you were saying, the side-by-side racing a little more. I have no clue what it is at all, but I'm really excited to see it for sure.
Well, I am too. I can't wait to watch y'all on the last race, the last great Coliseum tomorrow night. And I just want to ask you this too, Jake. I've heard a lot of drivers over the years that I've been around the sport, Stephen has too. Once you get into a race there at Bristol Motor Speedway, whether it be a day race or a night race, sometimes they get confused. I'm not saying you will, just want to throw this out there. Is it possible that you can get confused on where the front stretch and the back stretch is because y'all are turning some damn fast laps around Bristol Motor Speedway, and you sort of get Jake, your equilibrium gets off, or you can't remember where you're at? Does that sound okay?
Yeah, I mean I can definitely see that happening. I've never made a lap on Bristol, but I'm pretty sure they're the corners are pretty symmetrical, so that could possibly happen. I'm not for sure. I guess I'll find out during the race tomorrow night. But, yeah, definitely looking forward to it for sure, whatever it brings us.
Yeah, and, Jake, I don't want to keep you long because I know y'all just flew in and got everything going. But my final question that I want to ask to you is it's a one-day show, Jake, and I don't know if you have pulled a one-day show or whatever. Everything's going to happen tomorrow on a Wednesday. And then we're going to get to watch y'all race tomorrow night on Fox Sports 1. Have you ever done a one-race deal in the top tier, in the top three series, other than as far as what you did as far as dirt or maybe anything else? Have you ever run what? Basically what I'm trying to ask, Jake, is how do you think this one-day deal is going to work out? Is it going to be hectic or not?
Yeah, I've been to a couple before. Gateway was a one-day race, and a couple of the other ones I've been to were one-day shows. But, yeah, it's definitely hectic for sure. Not a lot of practice time at all. So, basically, and with the chance of rain tomorrow, I mean that could come into play, too. So, yeah, it's going to be a hectic day. You're just going to have to not make mistakes and make sure to get all the practice time you can in tomorrow.
And, Jake, I said it was my final question, but I got one more. I forgot. We got weather. We got weather coming. But are you guaranteed a spot in the show if we have weather coming? I hadn't looked to see the entries and see how many is there.
I am not guaranteed a spot in the show. Well, if qualifying rains out, I think we're 27th in the points. So that would be in the show. If they go off the first practice, though, we'll have to be in the top, in the top 24 in the first practice to be locked in the show. So, I mean, not guaranteed, but if qualifying and practice was to rain out, we would be locked into the show.
Okay. And, Jake, I want to thank you again for taking time out. You've come on the show a good many times here. We're live from Talladega, Alabama. But I wanted to get my questions in real fast because I know you have a lot to do, you know, as far as sitting down, getting everything going on. Because I know Stephen Wilson, he can talk forever. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead Jake, thank you very much, bud. I'm going to go ahead and hand you over to Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. Thanks again, bud, for coming on the show. We appreciate you, and good luck this weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Jake, with Bristol being a half mile, it's real high banked out there running on concrete. It's going to be something that it's a little bit different, maybe a little bit something outside of your comfort zone, per se. What have you done to prepare yourself to get ready for this track? Is there anything that you've run on before that you can maybe compare it to, or maybe something that you can take notes from? I know Gateway is a concrete track, but it's not as high banked as Bristol is. So even though that you can take some notes from the concrete, you can't necessarily take the notes and play the game of, you know, being the high bank, turning, you know, 15, 16 second laps around there. So what do you use to compare, or even just, you know, run around that for your first time out there? And, you know, what do you try and learn, or who do you go to try and figure this out when you get to the track tomorrow?
I don't think there's a whole lot you can do to get yourself ready for a track like Bristol, but definitely watching some of the tapes from years past of the in-car videos and just how the track races and kind of the line everybody runs on. I mean, there is not really a track on the circuit that's like Bristol at all. It's definitely one of a kind. I know I've ran a couple tracks that are kind of similar in like super late models and stuff like Winchester or Salem. So, I mean, there's definitely a couple tracks I have been on before that is kind of similar, but nothing really compares to Bristol.
And this race goes by real quickly. I mean, it's only 200 laps long, and at Bristol you can find yourself in a wreck. You can find yourself a lap down very quickly out there, especially when this race can get going, or even long stretches are green. Is there anything that you can do strategy-wise out there, you know, playing off of maybe even dirt or some of the other events that you've run in before, just, you know, going this very short but fast race tomorrow night?
You know, I mean, I think a big part of it is just going to be staying on the lead lap, like you said. I mean, it's very easy to go a lap down there. So, I mean, we're definitely going to fight to stay on the lead lap because it's not easy to get laps back in the truck series. It's not easy to get laps back anywhere. But staying on the lead lap is going to be a big part of it. And executing on pit road is going to be a big part of it too, because, I mean, Bristol's a small track, and even though there's a caution clock now, you're still going to have a pretty decent pit stop to stay on the lead lap. So, I mean, as far as, like, strategy stuff, I don't think there's a whole lot we can do besides just execute everything we can perfectly.
Now, are you also scheduled to run anywhere like Martinsville after this, or another short track on the circuit?
Come back with that.
Are you scheduled to run at Martinsville also?
I'm not scheduled to run there as of now. We're working on a couple more races, but as of right now, this is my last race for the year in the truck series as of right now.
Okay. I was just wondering, because I had a follow-up question to, you know, because Martinsville is kind of a little bit concrete, a little bit asphalt out there. You say, being this is your last race in 2016, or maybe potentially, you know, there are some opening out there if you can get a good run tomorrow night. But if you take a good run away tomorrow night, maybe getting back over at Red Horse Racing or something like that later on this year, if you could pick other tracks out there throughout the rest of the season, what do you think would play into your strength right now? And then outside of the Camping World Truck Series, what else do you have on your schedule that you're looking most forward to for the rest of 2016?
You know, for the rest of the year, I mean, we have the ARCA race coming up at Springfield Mile this weekend, this Sunday, actually. So, yeah, we got a busy week this week with that coming up. And after that, we don't really have anything scheduled. Kind of like what you were talking about, Martinsville. I would love to go back to Martinsville. That was the first track that I ran on in the truck series, and I'd like some redemption at that because we had a pretty good run and then had a part failure at the end of the race. So, I mean, that would definitely be a track that I would want to go back to. I think Phoenix would be a fun track to go to. And then Homestead at the end of the year, a couple days after my after my birthday would be a fun track to go to as well. So, yeah, I mean, I got a couple tracks that I would like to go to the rest of the year. It's just how fun it is and how just how everything plays out, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, Martinsville is definitely a tough track, not only on the driver, but on the equipment that you take out of there, that's for sure. But, Jake, before we get you out of here tonight, I'm going to let you thank your sponsors, let everybody know how they can follow you on social media, and good luck tomorrow night in the UNOH 200 there at Bristol Motor Speedway.
Hey, thank you again. Yeah, I just got Backlot Auctions, Outdoor Power, Advanced Trade Incorporated, Jefferson's Restaurant, just everybody that is a part of it, MB Motorsports, my dad, everybody that makes it happen, all the fans. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at JakeGriffin08 and on Facebook at JakeGriffinRacing. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Sure, not
and
a problem.
Steven
go
and
ahead,
Jake, can I put in? We have a caller.
Okay.
Jake, do you have time to take one call?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
Okay. This is our good friend from upstate New York. His home track is Todd Bigsby. His home track is Watkins Glen. His name's Todd Bigsby. I want to bring Todd into the pit stop with tennis playing Stephen Wilson and Jake Griffin. Todd, what's your question for Jake Griffin, bud? You got the floor.
Hey, Jake. Good to hear you're going to be racing. What is going to be the toughest thing for you to adjust to a new track?
Like I said, as we were talking about, with the weather coming, I think just finding a line at Bristol is going to be a big part of it and getting in that rhythm, because Bristol is definitely a rhythm racetrack. So getting in the rhythm and finding the line is going to be the big part of it. And then once I get that down pat in practice, as far as the race goes, just staying consistent and staying out of trouble is going to be, I think, the key parts of the race.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking time to answer a question for me, and good luck.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. And thanks, Jake, for taking that last question. Stephen, any last thoughts for Jake? I just wanted to bring him in there and let Todd get that question in.
No, I didn't. I was going to let him go. I forgot about getting that one question in, but appreciate it, Jake. And like I said, good luck tomorrow night. You and OH 200.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, you're welcome, Jake. Be careful, bud. All right, that was Jake Griffin, driver of the. I think isn't that MB Motorsports? Isn't that Mike Mittler, Steven?
That's Mike Mittler, number 63, out there running that truck.
I thought it was. Hey, Steven, let's take a little quick break. Live from Talladega, Alabama, you're in the pit stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio or whatever. Let me find a song, dude. Let's just take a little quick break and we'll come back. We'll talk about some of the NASCAR Xfinity stuff this past weekend at Mid Ohio. Let me find the button, Steven. Where we can play a song or whatever. Okay, here we go. All right. Live from Talladega, Alabama, we'll be right back shortly. Tennis Payne and Stephen Wilson.
It was the summer before the real world started, and the deal was we would get to go if we cleaned it up and got it running. That is old Winnebago. Winging a prayer down a 65, my best friend on four ball ties. I can still see Billy smiling when we finally made it to Talladega. Boys raised us, whiskey and gold glass. Now here's the turning. Talladega. Like a stone, time rolls on. You can't hit pause, that's just a thing. Most days in life don't stand out, but life's about those days that we all lack. Rockin' Randall, gettin' rowdy, shootin' Roman candles at the man in the moon, till the Alabama sun was breakin'.
Steven, are you there, bud?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. The song must have stopped. Anyway, let me preview some of the NASCAR Xfinity Series this past weekend at Mid-Ohio, and then we'll go into some of the stuff going on at Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend. Justin Marks, what an outstanding performance he put in the rain. I know you didn't get to watch it, but Justin Marks finished P1. He won his first NASCAR Xfinity Series race there. Race number 21, 4th Annual Mid-Ohio Challenge at Mid-Ohio Sports in Ohio. Sam Hornish finished 2nd. Ryan Blaney finished 3rd. Ty Dillon, 4th. Your 5th place finisher, Justin Allgaier. 6th place finisher, Eric Jones. 7th place finisher, Andy Lally. There's somebody you don't see coming up there in the top 10 too much. Brendan Gaughan was 8th. Elliott Sadler, 9th. Brendan Poole was 10th. That rounds out your top 10. And let me find the media center stuff where is it at? I'm looking. Mid-Ohio. Here it is. NASCAR Xfinity Series. Justin Marks. His first win in NASCAR Xfinity Series. Let's see what he had to say in the media center there.
We will continue on here with our post-race media availability for the 4th Annual Mid-Ohio Challenge. And we are joined by the race-winning team. We have Crew Chief Mike Shiplett of the 42, and we have Justin Marks, driver of the number 42 Katerra Chevrolet for Chip Ganassi. This is this would be his first victory in 25 NASCAR Xfinity Series races, his first victory and first top 10 finish in 2016, and his second top 10 finish in three races at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Justin, big week for you, my man. Fatherhood,
yeah.
Race win in the rain. Talk about that.
Yeah, this is a really special thing. It's great to have the opportunity to drive for great race teams, and these guys have worked hard and been patient with me this year. And as I've just kind of gotten back in the swing of driving these things, and like I've said a couple times, I mean, stock car racing in the rain is just sort of my thing. And I just don't have a lot of opportunities in my career, in my life, to be able to do it. So today it was just a perfect day for me to just kind of do what I'm good at, I think. And the pit stops were awesome. This car was set up great. What can I say? It's just to win a NASCAR race is truly a dream come true. I've been driving stock cars for a long time. Another win in the stock cars in the ARCA Lincoln Welders Truck Series race at Toledo. So it's pretty cool to get a win in the Xfinity Series. So yeah, it's just a great day. Just wish my family was here. You know, my wife, and she comes out to, you know, almost all the races. And we just had a daughter last Friday, and so she's at home. I know she's probably just a mess right now at home. So it's a good day.
Good deal. Mike, this had to be challenging from a crew chief's perspective with the rain and going to the Goodyear wet weather radials. Talk about the strategy that was involved today to get that 42 car out front.
Well, there's a lot that Justin and I talked about last night and leading up into the race with it looking like rain. And we talked, there's a few things that you can do under a pit stop to make the car better in the rain. But with the chance of it going back green or going back on dry tires, you know, you don't really want to do that because you'll lose so much time when you put the dries back on. So we just had a couple real small adjustments we did. Goodyear brings a great tire, and we had the best driver out there to get the job done. He did it for us.
Good deal. We will open the floor up to questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start in the back with Jerry, and we'll come back up front.
Jerry Jordan, former Chasing Network, kicking the tires. Congratulations on the win. I was talking to Eric Jones after the race, and he said you may have honed your skills a little bit on video games on this. Is that true, or is this? Tell me why you're so good in the rain on these stock cars.
Yeah, it's not video games for me. I mean, I raced before I came stock car racing. I road raced for 8 years, and I raced for Porsche. I raced for BMW in the World Challenge Series and in IMSA and all that. And so we did a lot of rain racing. So I had a lot of races under my belt in the rain. And there's a very unique style to racing in the rain. I have as much experience. I have more experience probably than anybody in the field, except for maybe Andy Lally at racing in the rain. So I can find that limit quickly and just find the grip, you know, more quickly than I think everybody else. It's a very unique skill set and a specialty to be able to go fast in the rain, and it's like the stars lined up perfectly just for my experience today. But really, it's just laps in the rain that I've had. I'm 35. I started racing in the rain when I was 17, so I've just got a lot of experience doing it.
Steve Conley, WCLT-FM. Mike, what went into the decision-making of when you were going to go back to the dry tires if the track went back green?
Well, we were waiting for our window to open up because we didn't want to have to come back down pit road again. With the rain and being on wets, our fuel mileage increased, so it was able to open up our windows a little bit more than normal, and we were basically able to make it on one stop. So that's really what drove it, and the weather conditions came out just perfect. There's a couple people that put on tires a little bit before us, and they started closing in on us a little bit faster than I anticipated. So we were actually, when we pitted, we were actually a lap short if it would have stayed green the whole race. I wasn't going to tell them until the race was over. But then looking at the radar, engineer Davin, you know, he was like, it's going to rain again. And we're going to finish in the rain. He kept saying it. So we just waited for that, got the rain tires back on there, and we had a great pit stop when we did the rain. We were in fourth. We came out second. Pit crew did a great job, especially with the wet pit road, you know, trying to get traction. Any of them could have slipped just a little bit, and we wouldn't have gained those spots, and that's what really gave us the advantage leaving pit road.
Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, former Station Network, kicking the tires again. Mike, this is your home state. How important is this for you to get this win here?
I mean, I'll take a win any place we can get it. It's just a little extra special growing up like an hour and a half north of here. Raced at Lorain County Speedway, Sandusky Speedway, my own late model. So to come back here and get a NASCAR win in the home state, that's one of the things on my list that I'll have for the rest of my life.
Any additional questions for a race-winning team? Any additional questions? Go to Chris.
Chris Knight, CatchFence.com, NASCAR Wire Service. Justin, congratulations on the win. You won your first ARCA race in the wet at a road course, Palm Beach, in 2010. Do you think that experience that you did back then paid any difference today?
I said my only win was in the Truck Series, and I totally forgot about that race. Yeah.
You are 35.
I got two kids at the house and that. No, it's I forgot the question. Chris, ask me again. Sorry.
Is winning in the wet? I mean, it's soaked and poured at much more.
Yeah. The stock cars drive a little bit differently in the wet than a Porsche or a BMW do. So having that experience, you know, it probably helped, but, you know, that was a long time ago, too, and just different circumstances. And it's the same concept. Physics are the same and everything. So really it's just, you know, that was my day and this is my day. So, yeah.
Go back up front.
Justin, when the track went back dry, did you have concerns that it was going to stay that way, or were you in communication that you knew that it was going to rain? And what would you have had for the rest of them if it would have stayed dry the rest of the day?
Yeah, certainly my advantage diminished when it went dry because we just didn't quite have the pace that some of those guys did. I mean, the track was – there was no grip on the track, so everybody was really sliding around a lot. So, like, I gave up a couple positions there to the 3 and the 6 and the 22. But I was able to hang with them, and I sort of was happy with my pace at that point because, you know, I wasn't going to drive up through them and go catch the 22, but I was there in case it went down. So, I mean, I had some concern about it. I mean, especially when you're that fast in the rain, right? I mean, you sort of got the race kind of in control, and then everybody comes right back to you when it's dry. So there was some concern there, but I spent a lot of time looking at the clouds through the windshield too, and I knew where the clouds were coming from, and just communicating with the team, and they were watching radar and stuff. I mean, even though we were dry and I had some of those concerns, I was still pretty confident that it was going to rain again and we were going to finish in the rain.
Steve, that was just a little bit of Justin Marks there in the media center there at Mid-Ohio. The NASCAR Xfinity Series, they're going to have, correct me if I'm wrong, the top 12 is going to run for the championship once everything's over with, which Blake Koch is on the bubble right now. Justin Marks don't have a chance. And Alex Sadler is leading. What do you think we need to be looking at as far as the NASCAR Xfinity Series chase going into, I think it's 4 races left, Stephen, am I right? Or 3?
Yeah, you only got about a handful of races left. You got Bristol this week. You got Michigan, Darlington, and Richmond. So only 4 races that are left. You know, you've got a lot of guys that are sitting up front already. You know, obviously the ones that are locked in with Elliott Sadler, Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, just out there with their wins. But the ones that are currently sitting there on that bubble sitting at the bottom are Ryan Reed, Ryan Sieg, Blake Koch, Ross Chastain, and Dakota Armstrong. Those are the drivers right now. They're sitting right around that bubble spot. Not too many points between all of them. They can kind of close the field up, and especially between Dakota Armstrong, Ross Chastain, and Blake Koch, you know, they can slip just a little bit in the next couple of races, and they can have a lot of movement in there, just as well as Ryan Reed and Ryan Sieg. They have a couple of bad weekends here in the next couple of weeks, and they can drop out. So you've got a lot of guys that are, you know, kind of sitting around that bubble area that could potentially, one way or the other, move up, move down, move out. And it's going to be interesting to see. You know, we always talk about how Talladega is kind of a great equalizer sometimes. But, you know, this weekend at Bristol in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, that's kind of a great equalizer for them.
you can get into a wreck real quick. You can go multiple laps down, and a lot of these guys can really capitalize on that real quick, because you can be in a top 10, top 15, and end up 40th with the early on wreck out there, especially with as many laps that they're going to run and as fast as they're going to run these laps. So you've got to be careful, keep your stuff clean, especially this week. You know, coming up over the next couple of weeks, it's not going to be as much of a concern. I'm sure you're going to have to watch yourself. Darlington's another one. You can get up into the wall, and, you know, you're going out to Richmond, which is another short track per se, three-quarter mile racetrack, which they're going to cut it off there just with the same thing that they're going to do with the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, and we're going to know who's going to be all locked in. But, you know, you've got a couple opportunities for these drivers to kind of capitalize, and kind of you're either going to have to keep yourself clean, and you're going to have to maintain your position, or you're going to have to do something really extreme over the next couple of weeks if you want to get yourself up there.
Right, Steven. I mean, you know, we're coming down to the time with the Cup, with the Xfinity Series, and with the Camping World Truck Series. I mean, you know, you better get your ass in gear and go now. But, I mean, you know, we got a lot going on. We got just a few races left. But, Stephen, I want to thank you for taking time out to come on. And would you like to let everybody know the weekend schedule this weekend at Bristol? Well, I don't want to say weekend because everything starts tomorrow night. And if you don't have it up, I got it up. I can go ahead and read it out. But you just let me know.
No, I've got everything here. We've got midweek racing yet again there under the lights at Bristol Motor Speedway. 4:45 tomorrow afternoon at Bristol Motor Speedway, NASCAR Camp Royal Truck Series qualify, followed by NASCAR Modified Series race at 6:05. And immediately to follow with the NASCAR UNLH 200, 8:30 p.m. NASCAR Camp Royal Truck Series out there underneath the lights at the half-mile bull ring, that is, Bristol Motor Speedway. Then coming up, and pretty much on Thursday, a lot of practice for the NASCAR Xfinity Series for them. Nothing much going on for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Friday, excuse me, on Friday, we've got NASCAR Xfinity Series qualifying at 3:15 p.m., followed by NASCAR Sprint Cup Series qualifying at 5:45. Then at 7:30 p.m., NASCAR Xfinity Series racing. Then on Saturday, the night race at Bristol, 8 p.m., 500 laps, the NRA Bass Pro Shops night race at Bristol. It's going to be, well, we know how it sometimes goes down under the lights.
You're damn right, Stephen. I'm waiting. It's going to be a barn burner, bud. I'm waiting on it.
Yeah, there may be a few tempers going down around there. You know, last year we saw a fair few with Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Denny Hamlin getting a wreck out there early on in that event. But this year, you're going to have to keep yourself clean, but it's going to be interesting. This year, Dale Earnhardt Jr., of course, not going to be in this event yet again. Jeff Gordon's still taking over that number 88. Chevrolet for him yet again. So yeah, 500 laps around the bull ring, half mile out there, high bank. Bristol did bring in similar to what they have done at Kentucky early on with the tire machine to try and open those grooves up, try and get some side-by-side racing out there along that concrete. And we'll have to see what happens, I'm sure, with a lot of racing prior to this Saturday night event. Should open that second groove up, but hopefully with the tire machine like they did at Kentucky, it should make for some very interesting racing out there, especially out there with those tight corners and very small track.
Yes, Dave. We'll see where that's at. And just like you said, we'll see how many folks is going to bitch and gripe and fight. But just want to let everybody know, thanks to Mr. Jake Griffin from NB Motorsports. He's racing the NASCAR Camp World Truck Series tomorrow night at Bristol Motor Speedway, his first trip to Bristol. And I'm Tim Despain. You can follow me at the Pit Stop Radio at TD Lyman on Twitter or Tammy Spain on Facebook. Stephen, let everybody know where they can follow you at on your social media, bud. You got the floor.
You can follow us at Speedway Digest, facebook.com/SpeedwayDigest, and SpeedwayDigest.com.
Stephen, it's been a blast. We're going to sign off live from Talladega, Alabama. You are listening to The Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson.
The chase for the NASCAR Spring Cup returns October 21st through 23rd. Call 1-877-GO-TO-DEGA for tickets.